TBH podcast with welcome myself, back. Ebony, and the guy.
Deep Bizzle. Deep Bizzle. Get, okay, I don't know why I've gone with Deep Bizzle. I don't know why I've gone with Deep Bizzle. Deep Bizzle. Kim. Woo.
So, what yeah, how are you, man?
I'm hot and tired, bro.
Trust me.
I'm actually, I'm
but it's
I'm
what
hot.
We, it's what we wanted, so I try not so to.
See.
I wanted it to be hot.
I don't like heat, man.
But, so, you, wait, I'm confused.
I prefer, like, you know, there was a period where it wasn't cold.
Oh, but it wasn't hot. It wasn't hot. It was kind of just in the, yeah. Kind of in the middle. Bit of breeze.
Get me. Little bit of skies are clear.
Yeah, skies are clear. That's what I'm saying. Like, but you didn't know, I don't like that because I never know where it's going to go. And I'm like paranoid about the British weather. So I'm like,
oh, you ain't brought an umbrella.
I need to take a jacket. Like, oh, do I not need a jacket?
Yeah,
sunglasses, jacket, everything. Like, I don't want to have to do that.
Yeah,
so when it's like kind of not clear what's going to happen, like right, it might just start raining, because I think some of those days it just out of nowhere started raining.
It was. And you would look at the weather app and it was completely
I just want to know that, look outside and be like, sick, I can just wear this, I don't have to worry, I don't have to carry an umbrella, don't have to do whatever, this is just what it
is.
But of course we know that when the UK gets to a certain temperature,
it's disgusting.
It's curtains.
It's nasty. Because there's no wind, bruv.
There's no point even doing anything. Like, legitimately, no point doing anything. You'll just be standing or, like, lying down, just sweating for no reason.
Nah, it's nasty, bruv. I don't know what's going on there.
100 showers a day, like, it's just too much.
Yeah,
but it is now, finally, at least.
Yeah, warm. No, it's looking nice. And it's just in time for... Because obviously events have started rolling out again.
Yeah.
People are hitting the streets and stuff like that. And people are enjoying, man.
Yeah, man. It's good.
So. Should I ask my question?
I don't know. Wait. No. Like, what have you been listening to? Let me ask you. What have you been
listening
to?
All right. Let me ask you. Okay. I'm so excited to ask you. All right. So, guys, I've got this question that I need to ask Ev. And so this is going to be a hot one. But before we get to that, I've been listening to... Do you know what I've been listening to?
What?
I have been listening to DMX's album a little bit. I like it.
Yeah. I saw a lot of people saying that they wasn't feeling it.
I understand why they said it. They overdid it a little bit.
They were saying Swiss fucked it up. They were like really just not on it. I did hear the Jay-Z and Nas tune. It's all right. It definitely sounds like old vocals. Like,
yeah, you can tell, innit?
I don't know when it was recorded, but it's definitely dated. Like,
I'll be honest, if they wanted it to be a good ending, as in where they, you know, people weren't making complaints, less songs, and it's like what they kept doing with DMX. So here's the thing about DMX, yeah. DMX, when you listen to his old music, he doesn't overdo the stuff that he does. It's nice when he does it. What they did on this album is they overdid it. They just repeated it.
You're hearing the growl. Do you know all what I'm saying? The growl's just
There was one song where you just, that's all he was, and I was just like,
like, high key, that's kind of why I feel I've stayed away from it, because I was actually like anticipating it, and then it dropped, and then I was kind of like, you know what, maybe not, because maybe I'll just leave this and see how, like, you know, I might listen to it a little bit further down the line or whatever when it's not so like close to the, but right now, yeah, because you know, trying to do an album after someone's passed is hard, like
very tough,
hard, and usually, you know, it's not done well. The fact that it's just never done well.
Yeah.
Like, especially like, as for like, I'm talking within the context of like hip hop and stuff.
Facts.
It's not really ever done well.
Albums that you do when someone has passed away, unless they were done.
Unless it was already finished.
Yeah. Cool. But this album wasn't. You can tell. First two, three songs, you can tell this album was nowhere near finished.
Yeah.
And
maybe I don't like the fact that they rushed it. Because even though DMX was in the process of recording his album and it's kind of been in the air that, yeah, this album's coming, But if you lot really rushed it and it wasn't at the point where it needed to be, that was a disservice to him.
Yeah, 100%.
That was an absolute disservice.
Because, like, you know, I'll take a prime example, right? Mac Miller's, the last album that he dropped was Circles. Was a beautiful piece of music.
Yeah, it took them, like, over a year before they even said that was even coming out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that, for me, was exactly what you said. It wasn't rushed. That was meant to happen. And I think it was pretty much done. And there's even still a few tracks that didn't even make the final cut. That's so that album was done. And that's a respect to him.
And
that's where you end
like
it.
Complete, right?
Yes,
like, if
an artist's 100%.
Discography is going to be complete, it's complete.
Yeah.
And you don't need anything else after that.
It was unnecessary. I think people sometimes feel as though, oh, we're going to do right by the artist and by the fan, by the listener.
Yeah.
And actually, you're not. It's like you said, it's a disservice.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to. You didn't. You could have not released the album and we would have been absolutely fine with it.
Exactly. And the real of it is I don't know who DMX was currently signed to, but nobody was rushing him for the album.
Nobody was. Who are you rushing DMX for?
But this is the thing. So it's not. This album has been in the air for ages. Nobody was. The label, nobody was rushing him to put the album out.
Absolutely.
So
not.
I know, of course, in the wake of his death and stuff, but no one forced you guys to put that out.
But you do know what, you know, and you know this, a lot of these record labels will do that because they jump on the moment.
Of course, the momentum of like all the streams going up.
Yeah.
Of course, all DMX tunes are playing all the time, like you're hearing them in the cars and stuff like that. So, of course, capitalize on the moment.
But it's like you said, in the midst of that, it's a disservice to the artist because you didn't need to do that. He was absolutely fine. Do you know what I mean?
On that, because I saw I saw a few days ago that there's gonna be another Pop Smoke album. Now, of course, his last album is doing so well still. Like, it's
you know, you could just leave it.
It's still in the charts. Everything
just leave
like it's doing
it.
Its thing. Like, it's still wildly successful. Like, but that album, I believe, was already pretty much finished.
It was.
Now you lot are gonna do another one, which we now know will be kind of like, incomplete vocals, all that type of stuff. You're gonna try to stitch something together. I don't know if that's necessary.
Yeah, I don't think it.
I don't believe that's necessary.
I think you can. His legacy can be where it is. That was his debut album, wasn't it?
That was his debut.
That was a excellent body of work for a new artist. And obviously he'd already
that, you know, for him to no longer be here and that album to still be streaming as well as it is.
Yep.
I see the charts, the Billboard charts, like 200 or whatever. It's always in the flipping top. I'm like, this guy's album's still in the top 10. He's moving like The Weeknd.
Still gets played in the clubs.
He's literally moving like The Weeknd.
Yeah, he's killing it.
It's crazy. So
it's a sad thing because he would have been a big, even bigger success if he was still alive. He was primed for it, man. It's so sad, and he was young.
It's one of those unfortunate things. You know, we talk about like rap and just turnover with death and stuff. But yeah, man, they shouldn't have done that to DMX.
Nah, it was wrong. It was wrong. But there was a few with every project. There's a few songs you're like, oh, that's all right.
Yeah, okay.
That's nice. That's
DMX at the end of the day, so I'm sure he can pull that out.
Yeah, man. It's actually taking me back though, because I remember when Mac passed, and that was not too long after he dropped Swimming. Again, beautiful. Like Swimming in Circles. Ah, man, they will probably go down as two of my favorite albums of all time, just because
they were
beautiful, man, and they were good. They were complete contrast to each other. So I felt like Swimming took a lot more of the traditional hip hop route. And
you think? So,
yeah, Swimming was, because if you listen to Swimming, he raps a lot more than he does on Circles. Circles.
Okay, fine.
He even said it. He basically wanted to release like a Beatles album. Basically.
Yeah.
That's why Circles. He spends a lot of time singing on it.
You can see like. Anyway, with Mac's artistry, like just from
he was going down
from,
like, yeah,
from like
yep.
Blue Slide Park,
yep, facts,
it's just
facts.
Very complete, like
facts, facts,
yeah. RIP to those guys, man.
RIP Mac and DMX, bro, but
and Pop Smoke,
but yeah, it's been an interesting one. There's been other than that, I don't think I've been listening to anything else. I've been, A2's new album,
yeah. A2 said he dropped the album and he's like, I'm out.
Yeah. I saw a tweet underneath. Why do artists do this? See, I saw a tweet underneath where someone asked him, like, are you being serious? And he was like, nothing's been decided yet. I don't know.
It's like, it reminds me of like how sometimes like SZA tweets, and she'll be like, I'm done with this, I'm out.
Yeah. And then his single comes out 6 months later.
Oh, guys, I love it. I just recorded the most amazing song. I hate this, I'm out. Like, why do you lot keep doing this? Take time. Like, legit.
You know what's annoying? because we've always said this. We spoke about this even for a good couple of years.
Mm.
I definitely thought the industry has done a disservice to A2 because of how good he is and the fact that he was with a label. There was so much politics with that label. It was bad.
He should have been, yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, he's done the independent thing now. He's back on his independent thing. He's got his core fan base. His core fan base knows. They're backing him. But it's like, you understand. The thing about A2 when you hear him talk as well is, he's not, you know, one of those people where he sounds a little like Wale sometimes, where they're like...
Where have you heard A2 talk?
I was on Twitter.
Oh, right. Yeah, I've never seen A2 talk anywhere.
Oh, no, he didn't. He actually didn't do interviews.
I was like, wait, where?
He's a proper quiet dude, actually. But his tweets is the only way you can kind
of
tell.
When you hear him talk, he
does speak about it, especially on, like, social media. Yeah. And he does talk about, and he just talks about the fact that, you know, a lot of people, like, he'll diss, like, for example, GR and Daily a lot.
Okay.
Link up a lot because of kind of how they might post this stuff, but then, again, there's no real support, there's no backing, but then... They'll be backing music that not necessarily good, all that kind of stuff. There's so many issues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it sounds a little bit like what was happening to a degree with Wale. But he's not complaining. He's effectively saying, "I'm trying to put out the best music of my life, and to do this, I do need the support of everyone around me." And then everyone's saying, "I'm this and I'm that," but the support isn't matching what you're saying. Wait. Do you see what I'm saying?
I get that. And you're saying that he's kind of talking about it from. Talking about the platforms as opposed to the fans.
Yes, yes.
You know, he sold out Coco. Like,
yes,
his shows,
exactly.
If he does a show,
it sells out. Like, it's not a problem.
But I guess the only thing with that is that he's off the platforms that he is, like, you know, wants to be on or thinks that there should be, like, more support or whatever.
Mm.
What more can they do, right? So. A2 is what would be the word? He's like an elusive guy.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't seemingly do any interviews. He's not in the mix like that. He's got his clique of people that he's with, and he puts out his music, and he's very true to the art in that way. He just makes makes his music and he puts it out, drops a video or doesn't drop a video. Platform can post it. A lot of these platforms, I'm guessing, not necessarily, or I was to say, like, working off exchanges and stuff like that. Like, are you going to do some, like, would you do some content with us? He doesn't drop many videos. He drops sporadically.
A degree, though.
I'm not saying that.
I get what you mean.
On the other side of it, it's like, what else could be done with, because you decide to, you've packaged yourself, so to speak, in a particular way,
and you
put music out in a particular way. It's like Frank Ocean can feel like, oh man, like, you know, Pitchfork and these places aren't really supporting me, but we never see you, Frank. So how much more can they do if you're not putting out music?
Yeah.
You're not in the space that you want the support in. And I'm not saying that you have to be super active. I'm not saying you've got to be like super active and stuff like that.
For the majority of I definitely agree. I just think with A2, if you look at the span of time from when he, I guess if we're going back to Them Versus Us, all the way through like Blue and stuff like there's, he's been consistent enough. He's not like it's been five, 10 years. You see what I'm saying?
Everyone knows, I assume most people know who A2 is.
For the
question,
for the majority
though,
okay,
we spoke about this label thing.
Mm.
Is A2 blacklisted?
It could well be.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
But obviously, the label that he was
in
big.
In terms of support.
So, yeah,
in terms of support and stuff like that. Like,
it could, yeah.
Could that be a factor potentially?
It could.
I don't know.
It could.
I don't know that to be the case.
It's obviously we're conjecturing, but it could
course,
be. Yeah. I guess that's the reality of it is that obviously we don't know what fully has happened.
Yeah.
All we do know is A2
is
a super talented artist.
When did he sign a deal? Like in 2000. I feel like maybe 2015.
Yeah, 14. Around that time. Because that was when...
He came out of the deal.
That was when Blue came out.
No, Blue
came
out...
2016.
Is it 2016?
Oh
my God, that's so long ago.
Yeah,
it feels like it wasn't that long ago, you know?
Let me see.
So he got out of the deal maybe like 2018, 19,
I
feel.
Tell a lie. Well, actually, 2017.
When did Blue come out?
2017.
Cool, so that's when he got out of the deal and I think he signed a few years before that. because I'm pretty sure if you look under the whoever it's licensed to, it's not licensed to them.
Yeah, you're it's under
whatever his
no
it is under,
it's under Disturbing London.
Okay,
so I think Blue
was the last
project on Disturbing London, and then
because I remember he dropped something in the new year, so
it was 2019 he dropped All Spill.
Yeah but I remember in the new year of 2018 he dropped something, like maybe it was on SoundCloud or whatever, and that was when it was kind of, you're not on there anymore.
Yeah, so, okay.
Or
so,
something no, like no, that, or something. Yeah. Purple, anyway.
Purple dropped 2018. So Purple was the last project that he dropped on Disturbed World London. Yeah, I remember now.
So,
because I think he just needed to fulfill his obligations. That's why he came out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, his obligations.
But, and then All Spill came out. And
yeah, man,
AT's
a super talented guy, man. And super, I think super all the people that love him, like us, like, we love his music.
Yeah,
as far as, like, platform support and stuff, for an artist like him, I'm not even sure how help. Like, I'm not even sure what the how much more of a benefit. Is,
yeah.
If that
yeah.
makes sense, I'm not sure what the how much more of a benefit.
I guess
like if you drop a video on Thingy, it gets 200,000 views.
Yeah.
Of course, that does, I guess, open you up to like maybe or like a million views or whatever.
Facts.
Of course, it's gonna open you up to a few more like more listeners and stuff like that. But
I think at the end of the day, I think it's a bigger conversation. Mm. I think it's not even just about A2.
Yeah.
You and I both know exactly why these platforms don't push the, as we say, the elusive or the eclectic artist, because it's not the popular stuff. It's not what's going to get in the views. We get it. We understand it. There's nothing we can do about it. It's been like that for way before our time. But I think it's a bigger conversation to say, everyone makes these complaints, as in the general consensus makes a complaint, and the music sounds all the same. You know, we're not beginning, blah, 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 all that stuff. And then you've got artists like A2. You've got some of these artists like Kaleem Taylor. You've got these, you've got artists like Tiana Major Knight, and she's doing her thing. Yeah. So, but you've got all of these artists who have the music and the talent, and actually, they can actually package well, but the only support that they're really, really getting is from the core fan base, which, as much as we know that is stupidly important, it isn't actually enough for the artists
that would like to expand.
Exactly.
Of course, you need to kind of at some point, this reminds me of when Mac Miller signed his deal, actually, because he was independent up until, was it Good Morning? Or was it Good AM? I think he was independent up until then, or was the album before that, which I can't quite remember, because watching movies with the sound off, I think he had signed a deal. But anyway, he was independent up until a point. Then he signed a deal, and when everyone was like, "Oh, you were doing so well independently," he goes, "I want to get to the next level."
There we go.
And this is why I've signed the label. There we go. Nipsey Hussle did the same thing.
There we go.
He was independent up until a point, and then he signed to release Victory. Like I want to expand my audience to the next
makes
level.
Sense,
I want to have a proper rollout.
And it all
worked. Campaign, exactly.
And it all worked.
It worked out in their favor, of course. So.
So we know this. So we know that.
Yeah. So for those who wanted to obviously want to expand, of course, each artist, like whatever their goals and stuff are different. But of course, if you want that, then it makes sense. But
we know this. The labels, there needs to be a wider conversation, but there needs to be a wider conversation around these platforms and these that are doing that.
Not even necessarily, right? So my other question, I guess, for you would be, why is there just not another platform that kind of is more catered to
that style or that type of music,
because
or something like that. Yeah.
It shouldn't be a fault of GRM or Link Up that they don't post like A2 or Koji or whoever people might feel like they don't post enough of, when that isn't the
their niche per se.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, there are platforms that do, but they don't have the reach, because this is the thing. I could name countless, but that's effectively what the problem is.
For example,
yeah, trend.
Maybe we should like platform in terms of YouTube or platform in terms of outlet like publication.
As in actual platform.
Okay, cool.
R&B 360 is another example.
Right, cool.
They're really, really good at posting R&B that you almost would never hear about on these platforms, right?
Cool.
And they will push them, and do the best they think. And that's really good. And everyone will say that's good, but the reach is limited. And it's not just the reach is limited of the platform, because I think the platform is doing well to get there.
Yeah.
But there's a certain, and that's just how, I guess, it's almost we know what the answer is. It's just how the industry works, which is not a nice thing
Is that an industry thing, though, or is that a fan thing? Because
a bit of both.
Because before any,
it's a bit of both.
Because before we had any of our publications for our scene and stuff like that, forget the industry was not important. The industry wasn't even fucking with it. So
true.
The fans the fans and our viewership of going on whether the GRM site every single day, whatever. That was us that propelled then the platform to get to a space where then the industry tapped into. So
to
when you say
degree,
that.
Agree, but however, R&B, if we could go further back, if we look at, for example, we can even just take this as a small one, Channel U, for example.
Mm.
Channel U is a big part of our culture, whether we like to deny it or not. You and I both know this because we've been in the industry a long time. Channel U is a big part of the culture because they didn't just post the industry gems. They were posting videos from talented artists, underground artists, people you didn't know about, all that kind of stuff.
Because you could pay £50 to get a video.
Exactly. Yes, I agree. But do you see, even though that's true, do you see where that came from, though? Do you see what I'm trying to say?
I understand what you're saying. Because but that's how Channel U, again, it's not industry. Like, when I think we get caught up in wanting to maybe sometimes put all the blame on like the labels and stuff like that. When it's, I feel like the answer is a little bit more simple. And I really think like everyone who might complain about R&B is not highlighted enough and we're not supporting. Are you following R&B 360? Are you retweeting what they're doing? Are you shouting about those artists that they're posting?
Fair point,
are you saying, "Rah, this is sick"? Are you? I don't think you are.
Fair point.
I think that's you.
And that
has nothing to do with a big bad label.
I will say,
it's got nothing to do with anyone else. It's actually just fans. Because GRM and Link Up, yes, they've got the reach, but the reach was created by the fans.
By the fans, yeah.
Tapping
in
and watching, and it's grown and it's grown and it's grown. And of course, now they're big entertainment.
Because actually, I was going back to this conversation around, you know, the other day, Georgia brought on Enny and I think it was Amina Brave
to the
Glastonbury.
Yeah, I saw that.
And
what was that? Was Glastonbury happening?
So Glastonbury basically was live. This is what happened to it. Glastonbury
that was
became
quiet.
A stream. Yeah,
was it Glastonbury
quiet.
For real?
It
like,
was Glastonbury. Because they
so
weren't
quiet.
Doing a festival this year.
Yeah,
it was Glastonbury Live.
So,
Coldplay were
so
on
they
it.
Did like a BBC One Extra
type
thing.
Literally, yeah.
It was
massive. I'm saying that it was the numbers were massive
okay,
for live stream.
I saw a few clips. I think I saw something off Kano and stuff like that. And
yeah,
I was like, wait, Glastonbury, isn't it early for
and
that?
So obviously, you know, there was this whole thing around Georgia being on the remix to any song and all that kind of stuff, which was bullshit. She smashed it. And I said to people, here's a joke, yeah. I said, I remember having this debate. honestly, absolutely killed it. And
that's
I said to people, they were like, you know, blah, 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 Georgia, blah. And I said this 1,000 times. I said, you guys don't know how music works. Georgia being on that remix is going to be an integral part to Enny's career. Reason being is because of her reach and because of the fact that she's a bigger artist than her. Number two, if you look at the fact...
And they're on the same label.
And they're on the same label. Number two, if you look at the fact that before this single, because... No one knew that Enny had music beforehand. You lot weren't pushing her music.
Yeah.
You don't want talking about
videos,
it.
She's
been
videos,
doing
like, she
and she's dropped
from
music
a,
after.
From like a year before. Yeah, I know she has. I know
you see
she
what I'm
has.
Saying?
Yeah. She's got something coming up. She did an interview recently that I believe she's dropping an EP or an album soon.
So check this out. Eb, actually, your point proves itself. Write this in this case study. When the fans got behind that tune, look at what happened. When the fans got behind that Enny tune, look at what happened.
Of course.
Now, when Georgia got on the remix, it was massive.
But that's of course, that was massive. And, you know, the internet fallout was something completely.
It's bullshit.
That's a different thing.
It was complete and utter bullshit. That's
yeah.
What that was.
But I think sometimes we definitely lean on the crutch of, ooh, the label, ooh, the industry did this. But really and truly, you lot are not actually checking for the things the things that you say that you want to check
Thank
for.
Thank you.
And, you need to pattern up.
Yeah, I will actually agree that now that we talk about it a little bit more, I definitely think it's they're both part of the problem, if that makes sense. I feel like the industry... can do more, as in my industry. I'm not necessarily.
But okay, 0207 Def Jam. Yeah, they tweeted that they had signed. They signed the R&B act, and they announced it. I can't remember her name, but I can't remember her name.
They
tweeted.
They said Peter.
They signed. If I can find it, I'll get it up. So they signed an R&B act, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's talking about. Oh, industry doesn't want to promote
R&B.
0207 Def Jam. Signed an R&B act. I think I saw the tweet go up, and I think it had all of like 30 retweets.
Oh God.
All right.
Point proven.
It's you lot.
Point proven.
It's you lot.
Point proven.
All right. I think it's you lot.
There's actually, and the thing is, we have to realize that there's actually power in the fans.
Don't get me wrong, of course, the industry is there, but I think when we talk about music in this particular way, where we're talking about it, just want to lean on this the bad.
Yeah,
industry,
it's true.
They just don't want to let them win.
That's true. That's a good point.
No one's listening.
So yeah, no, it's true.
How much more can I do if I want to promote an R&B artist? Great. Nobody's listening to the R&B artist that I'm trying to promote. How much more can I do? You want me to support you on my platform, but you don't ever drop any videos. Your music is sporadically around. I don't know if he sends press releases out or however it works. How should we support you?
Yeah. Facts.
You've got to work a little bit with everybody. Everyone has to work together.
And that's what I said. I think it is a bit of both. I think it's really important. But I guess what we're realizing in the way music is now, which is definitely the case more so than any other era we've been in, is the fans actually have the power to put on these people.
And just to say, the artist that they signed is called Debbie, and it's got 53 retweets, and they announced her or introduced her in May.
So then it's really, the fans definitely have to play their part in it.
100%, always were. At the end of the day, when it comes to music, it's about the listener.
Yeah.
The listener gets you to where, gets the artist to where they are, gets a platform, whatever. Got to shine the light back on yourself a little bit.
That's true. It's true.
Not the conspiracy of the industry all the time.
Yeah, no, it's true.
The platforms, because the platforms can work with they're working with what they got. And of course, maybe all the responsibility shouldn't even be on two platforms that aren't actually, whenever the platform that we're promoting this particular niche of music, need another platform for that, maybe.
Or
video channel or whatever.
But I think it's like you said, now that we know that there are platforms who will push these eclectic and these unique artists, we now need the fans to get behind those platforms.
Exactly.
Because R&B 360 is the prime example. If the fans got behind it, they would discover a plethora
of
R&B artists.
They have to get behind it.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Have to get behind it or shut up. Yeah, honestly, don't chat about the R&B and all this.
Yeah, it's true. The reason why I don't pay attention.
No, but I'm just saying,
in general, because it's a good point. The reason why I know that is bullshit is because actually, if you look, you will find a ridiculous amount of... Like, the R&B scene in the UK, I'll call it the UK R&B scene, but R&B scene in the UK is actually nuts. And the amount of music that's coming out, people actually don't understand how good this shit is. I will be as close as saying, it might be a big statement, it says it's probably currently the music produced is better than what I'm hearing in America. Because some of the British artists that are producing music, they're not just producing the same old, they're going in.
So this is more about the genre, maybe that might be a different conversation, because American R&B sounds very different to what our singers do here.
Yeah.
Would that, and a lot of singers wouldn't necessarily even class themselves as R&B, in a traditional sense. I don't know for sure if Etta Bond classes herself as an R&B artist.
I don't think she's ever said it explicitly.
No, I know. Do you get what I mean? Over there, they'll be like, Kalani's an R&B artist. Here, that's not really...
I think that's just a matter of styles of music that's being put out. In all fairness, the R&B that we hear from here is the underground stuff. Because you couldn't really pick up an artist who you would say is R&B.
Who's got the most traditional sounding R&B?
From here. The closest that we've really ever really gotten as it stands now is probably Tiana Major. Tiana's probably the closest.
Manila?
Yeah. And probably Manilia, I've forgotten her name. Bella. Bella's another one that's up and coming. Same kind of thing as well. So yeah, they're still technically
fairly new.
Do you know what I mean? But yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, the onus has to be on both.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Speaking of fan questions, can I ask my question?
Go on.
I'm ruthless. All right, so the internet decided to produce content, and they said a platform had said that Drake put on
what platform?
This was, I think it was Nine Bills.
Oh, okay.
So Drake put on Skepta and Giggs on the global stage. So basically, they're saying that Drake is responsible.
Like, you know, like when you look, can't see me, but like these are the things. Like, like I put, like whenever you hear me go, I'm putting my hands on my head. I'm sinking further in my seat because as he continues to talk, it just gets worse
and worse. So they said, they said Drake, Skepta, Giggs, Heady One, and Dave. I can give you Heady One and Dave.
Put on a global stage.
Yeah. However, that's actually not technically true.
Okay.
But the reason why, so the debate that I was having with the reason why I said it's not true, prime example is for Skepta. Let's take Skepta for example. Skepta won a BET Best International Award before Drake.
Yeah, what's that picture that was floating around of Skepta, Giggs, Chip and in BET in like 2011 or something like that. Maybe it was even a little bit earlier than that. Actually been like 2009.
Might have actually been.
But they
were out there, right? So let's put this into perspective. Now someone said, accolades don't count. Well, accolades do count because BET is an award show.
I love it.
Accolades don't count when the argument is. Accolades don't count when we're making an argument. Now the accolades don't count. But when I brought to you facts, now the accolades don't count.
Always, right? And it's funny. That's a funny thing, even with Drake in the sentence, because that's always the
So I said, all right, let's bring facts then. So Skepta won a BET International Award in 2015. The rebuttal was, no one rates the BET. That's not what I said though, and that's not who cares. I don't care if you rate the BET. It's an international award.
That's a personal thing.
I might not rate. I don't know. I might not rate the VMAs, who cares?
Because someone will say, oh, like. Seeing as we're talking about Drake or Drake's part of the thing, oh, I hate God's plan. That's not a hit. It was number one, so it's a hit. It's a hit. Do you know what I mean? Like whether you liked it or not. Sorry, that literally the facts or the metrics in which we use measure particular things.
Thank you.
Was a hit.
Thank you.
It doesn't matter if what was that. You remember them times when that song was. The guy called Psy and he had that Gangnam Style tune.
I think that song was number one.
You know what that means?
It had the most YouTube views.
I think it did chart. It might have gone number one.
It charted for a good couple of weeks, I remember.
But for example, that would be considered a hit, whether you liked it or not.
Facts.
Like,
facts.
It was a hit. And so someone could say, well, rah, like, he's got more hits than such and such.
Facts. Facts.
Talking that,
this was what my point was about
they were saying that Drake
put on to a global stage. Now, where my issue was is I said, so this is what I said, if you had used the word influenced or was a part of them reaching more or whatever you want to call it, I'd say yes. Let's just be honest. When Skepta was on the tune with Drake and WizKid, that was a big moment for him because that was after that. That's when he went to go and do the OVO Fest. He did the tour and all that kind of stuff was happening. Mm. However, let's never forget something. Just because you didn't know that he was reaching these people doesn't mean that he wasn't.
That's a very good point, you know, because a lot of the time, sometimes, you know, like as I said this a few episodes ago, where I said, oh, we've become super cynical, skeptical as fans, right? Everyone's breaking down all the little blah blah. But also, sometimes when we speak, even when we do it here sometimes, just because you didn't know that this was happening doesn't mean it wasn't happening.
Facts.
And often people get online platforms, whatever, talking from an experience like, oh, just that, oh, well, they only started popping. You only heard about him at that particular point. That's fine. That's cool. But this was happening before.
Exactly.
It was happening.
Exactly.
You know?
So to me, I just thought like, I was very conscious of the fact that no one is stating that he wasn't. I've said this for years. I'm talking about this was years ago. I said Drake is definitely an important part of Skepta reaching more people. There's no way you can't admit that because Drake is obviously a big artist.
I don't think
anyone's denying that. But then to say that it's almost as if the conversation comes across as if they weren't there in the first place is false. And it's almost a disservice to the artist itself.
No, it is a disservice.
It's a buzz. As if they weren't trying to do this chick for time, bro.
It's a disservice and it's contradictory to all the energy that everyone says, well, we don't, you go on Clubhouse arguing about, oh, we don't need a validation from America.
He's Canadian.
But in terms of the American landscape, facts, global. Because really and truly, let's be real in it. Like when people are talking about, I guess, like the global stage, they're just talking about America.
That's what
you're not
talking about.
The Chinese, that's what the Asian
about.
Market,
that's
sorry,
what they're talking about. That's
or
talking about.
Even the African market. That's what they're talking about. You're just talking about that's America. What talking about.
Because so, if we, again, if you want to bring facts, you I don't have the metrics on me. But Skepta and Giggs were touring and selling out Europe.
I was literally about to say that because I was going to say, people have to understand, yeah, like, our artists have been fine for time. You know why? Because they go and they go to Ibiza, they go to Mallorca,
yep.
they go to these places and they do it and they've been living comfy. Lethal B was a multimillionaire before Drake. Drake started help, like, kind of doing tunes or whatever the case. These people were doing their thing way before. But just because you didn't know that doesn't mean that it wasn't happening.
Yeah, facts.
Just because you didn't know facts. That doesn't mean that it wasn't happening. Do you know what I mean? But these lot have been cool for time. Dizzy has been comfy for time.
For time.
He didn't break America. He wasn't on a global stage or whatever the case was. So that's a bit of a... I don't even understand the statement, to be honest with you. That's just probably not the term to use.
That's what I said. That's what I was trying to say. That it's the term that was used is where I think was the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Because I said put on makes it sound and does come across as if they weren't there in the first place. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's not an accurate description. It's not true.
And also, just because... when, like, okay, like you said about, like, Drake, of course, like, influence or expose or, like, bringing them to, like, new listeners and stuff like that. If, like, what you mentioned about them being out there for, like, of course, like, BET or doing a song or touring, the minute you leave, like, the UK to go somewhere else, right, that's now
you're
because you don't rate that they did a show in France.
It doesn't mean that's a global stage.
When these lot were going to Australia and doing tours in Australia, AJ Tracy and these men were going and doing tours in Australia.
Someone said it. Someone made a very good point. So obviously they had mentioned Dave. Forgetting the fact that Dave was touring in America even before the co-signing with Drake.
See, Little Sims, international artist. Touring all these places again.
Kendrick Lamar, Lauryn Hill, like all of your biggest.
Forget America. I'm just saying these lot were going to other places.
Exactly.
Someone like why is his name got? Like, this is a very kind of not even left, but if you remember a guy called Nick Brewer, this guy.
Yeah, I know Brewer.
Yeah. So like, I believe he went to Japan. He's done tours. That's a global stage.
These kinds
of statements are not like they don't make any sense.
Exactly.
They don't make any sense, but if. Just say America.
If you say America, then it is what it is. But even still, that's not true because they.
It's not true.
It's not an accurate. It's not accurate. And just also, because you didn't doesn't mean that it wasn't.
Yeah, it's not accurate, man, and it's boring. Like our kind of bondage with like Drake is fucking crazy, bro. Like it's been like however many years, and we're still like passionately discussing what he did or didn't do, and of the artists that he's been linked with have all gone and said. Yeah, like whatever, it did help me. It didn't, or not like it didn't help me, but they've all gone on and said their piece. So I feel like, you know, when artists speak on things that us as fans might discuss, like, ooh, did he put him on and blah blah blah, these lot have spoken on these things already. Like,
facts.
Once they've said their piece on it and said, yeah, that did help me out,
yeah,
dead the convo.
Yeah,
convo is done, it's finished. Yeah, yeah. There's nothing for us to debate whether or not. Cause it's just.
I saw. There's a video. Someone actually sent it to me. They DM'd me after I tweeted about it. And there's a video where Skepta's on the way to do the OVO Fest. And in the car, he says, "Oh, you know, sometimes."
Drake's got a fucking BBK tattoo. Sorry.
Yeah. But that's okay. Thank you. Anyway, if I speak, I'm listening.
Hold on.
No. Drake was talking about.
I'm signed to BBK for life.
Okay, all right.
And understand.
Okay.
And okay, so here's a question for you, right? Did Burna Boy put you on?
No.
Exactly. For you to have got to that point, to have to, of course, seize that opportunity, you had to have been doing work beforehand in order to then be on that stage taking Burna Boy's things. What did Burna Boy do? Exposed you to more other artists who oh yeah, I like what he did there. I'd like to work with him too, right? That's what collaboration looks like. But you were doing, it didn't just happen.
What I'm trying to say is that you were doing,
it would be crazy for anyone to say Burna Boy put you on as a photographer.
I've been working in this industry for 10 years.
Would you be cool?
Yeah, man.
You know what? Burna Boy put him on as a photographer. That's the only reason why he's at.
No? It's an insult. It's actually an insult.
You were doing work before.
That's a very good example.
That's why you were even able to be in that space.
So,
Skepta, Giggs, Dave, whoever people might feel Drake put on, whatever, except they had. Drake did not get a BBK tattoo just because. He didn't do that.
Facts.
He had to have already, because Skepta was doing whatever he was doing, doing whatever he was doing, he was already the man.
So when Skepta was doing the interview when he's going to the festival, a lot of the time, I will say to myself, whenever something significant happens, oh, this is a moment. This is a significant moment in my career. And he was saying like, oh, yeah, is it? And then someone in the car was like, aren't they all? And he was like, wait, it's true. This is just another moment.
Of course.
Because it's not the moment. All of those have been moments. This is just another moment. So it will come across as if you're trying to say in your own career, all of those moments that I've been saying to myself, are they irrelevant? No, they're not. They're all a part of where these steps that I'm going. Exactly. They're all a part of it.
They're all the reasons why a Drake or a Kanye or a Diddy, because Tiny and Skepta did the, what was that, 2011, they did the Hello Good Morning, like UK, remix and stuff like that. Or, what I'm guessing the counter argument is going to be like, oh, they only did the one tune. Doesn't matter.
It honestly doesn't matter.
Like,
there are opinions, but the metrics and facts will tell you that's more than enough.
That's the reality.
Like,
if we're just talking global, like the thing is it's too loose, and it obviously it doesn't make sense. But it's just like, again, if you didn't like the Hello Good Morning mix that Skepta and Tiny did with Diddy, like back in 2011, or you wasn't even aware of it, you can't say that's not global.
Just because you wasn't feeling it.
Oh, it's just the one tune. Oh, Kanye brought them on stage, and Kanye did the show at Coco. Where did Kanye do that?
No, the one afterwards.
Kanye and BBK, they did a Good Music versus BBK concert. It was somewhere in London.
I vaguely remember that. Right. Was it after the performance?
Yeah, it was after the performance. They went to a venue and they did like a back and forth type show.
Oh, sick.
Like a versus, basically, but. Like a Watch the Throne. Just Kanye, Skepta, Jamie, Shorty, all these lot just going back and forward, Big Sean with all their tunes and stuff like that. But you're gonna say that doesn't count, and I think that predates the thing. It's just a silly argument, man. We need to stop chatting about Drake, honestly.
It's so true what you said, man. These people are talking America when they're saying global things.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
that's what they're saying that. It's so slightly true. It's actually so true.
I think that would be you're just being a bit dishonest. And then saying that it doesn't matter, but what are we even talking about? And why are we still talking about it? What does it matter?
It doesn't matter. Very, very good point. It doesn't matter, man.
We've got to move on. We have to move on.
I should have actually sent you the tweet. Yeah, I know you would have laughed your head off. You would have been like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, that's...
And then, the reason why this caused so much uproar
is because
all of the guys, so basically Young Teflon, Tiny Boost, all of these men that have been in the industry for years told them, well, you're chatting shit. You guys don't know what you're talking about.
Damn.
And you know what?
Damn.
They're right. They're right. Because actually, the reality of it is that the reason why I know why they know what they're saying is that obviously a lot of these guys have been in the industry a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Tiny Boost, he's been around. He's the closest one to gigs that you can think of, especially because of the whatever.
Yeah, go on.
So when he's saying what he's saying, he's like, you're only saying this based on the moment, the viral moment, not knowing what's happened before the viral moment.
But this is the thing, isn't it? Like that's what I'm saying. Like, just because you weren't aware of something previous to that doesn't mean it wasn't happening.
Yeah, facts.
So
facts.
I had not heard of Burna Boy up until that Yay tune comes out and everyone's singing it or whatever. So I should now say, well, like, he's not a big artist, like, he's not da da da, because I didn't know about all the other projects and everything else, all the impact that he had previous to coming in my entry point. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you could say, oh, that's like that was a big tune for him or whatever, but you'd be weird to just be like, oh, he's to act as if nothing happened before that. When clearly things had to happen before
facts.
That. If that makes sense. So like for Drake to even wanna like to be like running up and down LA, wanting to be in parties with these guys and stuff like that. Of course, he has an admiration and whatever.
Yeah.
And that's been evident.
And you proved it as well. It's like, it's been Drake evident wouldn't have been there unless you already knew about
and
them.
And by the way, it's not put on, it's collaboration. There's a big, big difference.
Again, don't There's do a disservice man. To the artist, man. It's exactly what you said. It is a collaboration. Like, don't...
You know what people... You know,
sometimes it as if you drag the nigga out of his yard.
You know, like, I was here last time and I was like, you know, like, with rappers, when they say the artist thing, sometimes they you show, like, they're insane, oh, I'm an artist, I'm not a rapper. Like, they show that they don't rate themselves. See, when people put statements like that, you kind of show that you don't rate it. You're not rating... the artist from here, and once again you're saying things that you don't really back. Like, I don't know, like, it's all weird.
It's interesting.
All weird.
What's your
oh yeah, speaking of Burna Boy, did you buy tickets? Did you hit him up?
I can't.
So you got £100 of Burna Boy tickets, £100 on Wizkid tickets. I'm joking.
I'ma be honest. Hold on.
But I saw that he dropped tickets for a concert. It's in the O2 Arena. And people were complaining about the prices, saying that the prices were too high. And I was under the impression that Burna Boy was a superstar. So the prices reflected the fact that he is a superstar. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
However.
Okay.
I have come to the conclusion about one thing.
What is that?
People are full of shit.
Oh, right. I think that's the theme of the episode.
Yeah. I think
that, that is the theme of the episode.
Support
but yeah.
Black business. Support the artist.
But also, if Burna Boy is a superstar,
you're gonna pay superstar prices.
This is it. See, when Beyonce drops tickets, I don't even flinch. I know what it is. When Rihanna drops tickets, I know exactly what it is. Kanye, Jay-Z, whoever. I don't even think I'm gonna pay. Like, I know that I'm paying a minimum of £100. I know this. I know I'm buying merch. I understand what I'm getting myself into. No need to complain. That's just what comes of it. If I'm going to, you know, go to a different artist, that might be less. This is just kind of if Burna Boy is a superstar, pay the price.
So here's my thing, and this is why I say people are full of shit. I can make an opinion and say that the ticket is quite expensive, yeah? So I laugh and joke.
Based on £100. Oh, okay.
No, I'm just saying, on the basis of I don't have the money. That's why I'm making the joke.
Okay.
If I put that aside, is £100 for a Burna ticket a lot? No, it's not. You're talking about a Grammy Award winner. You're talking about a hit after hit. It doesn't matter what I thought about his last album. His last album has hits. His last album has number ones. His last album has
one
done
of
the deed.
One of the biggest African artists.
Thank you. Okay.
On a global stage.
Thank you. He's about to sell out we're talking the O2, right?
Yeah.
So the O2 is one of the biggest arenas in the country, right?
Yeah.
One of the biggest arenas. I think it's the second, because I think the first is Wembley, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's.
So the second biggest venue in the world he's about to sell out. And not only is he about to sell out, he's about to sell out in the UK. He's about to sell out with ease. Because the people you were complaining about £100 tickets, those tickets went within the next...
You know why?
24 hours.
Because the reason why he's selling out the O2 Arena is because he's a star.
Thank you. Okay. So you cannot... This is my problem. Obviously, everyone has an opinion. I can't tell you not to have an opinion. Here we are having an opinion. If we push to shove, take out the opinion, there's nothing wrong with what he charged. He's an artist and he's gotten bigger. You guys both know, and everyone said it all the time, when Cole first came down to the UK, I paid £40 for his ticket.
For Cole?
When he first came to the UK.
I paid £20 for a Cole ticket. By the time Cole came back
to the O2?
Thank you. You're at the 60, 70 range.
Now, let me ask you a question now. Why is it Why is it? Now, obviously, we're talking about a social media conversation. Why did no one complain about Cole? Why did no one complain about Beyonce? Why did, and let's not say, oh, that's Beyonce, that's Cole. They're award-winning artists, so is Burner. They have albums top 10, so does Burner. He's been touring the country for years, so does Burner. And so what I'm asking you, what exactly is the difference between these artists? Why is it that they feel as though Americans can get away with stuff, but the artists who are apparently closer to our proximity can't? Why is that?
And he's not closer to our proximity.
He's actually not. He's not people's like that. He's a big artist. He's the biggest artist. He's one of, you know what? Forget this there African stuff. He's one of the biggest artists in the world. There, facts. There Why is the difference?
I mean, know the difference. You know what? I think I don't know why people were reacting like that. I mean, like you said, maybe they feel like it's too, like, I don't think he's in our he's close to our proximity.
But
I don't think he is.
Do you know what it is though? The reason I say that, when the way people talk is as if he is. So it's exactly like I said to you.
It's not that. It's a little bit lack of what we were saying a bit earlier in that you don't rate it. You say you're rating Afrobeats, etc., the movement, boom, sick, everything strong. But you actually maybe don't respect it on the same level as you do the
hip hop artists, the Americans.
The American industry and their music is the standard, and it's a given that you'd pay £120 for Beyonce tickets. But for the Afrobeats artist, £120. What? And that's kind of, I don't know. Yeah, that's a bit of a, I'm trying to look for the word to explain exactly what that is. But yeah, you have to look within.
Yeah, you do.
You have to look within as to why you don't feel like it's worth it. Why don't you see the value in what Burner Boy brings to the table as an artist?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
why? Yeah. Because I don't think anyone could probably justify why the ticket should be lower.
Because you actually can't, actually. No.
Because, again, like, if all of these things, if, you know, like I said, if Burner Boy is a superstar, he's a Grammy Award winning artist, he has hits, he's got the catalogue, he's got the fan base, why would the tickets be £40?
Yeah.
No one else in his, no one else in that realm that he's in charges £40 for tickets.
Yeah, facts. Correct. It's as simple as that. I guess when I use the word, when I say proximity, again, I use this thing where it's a little bit like, this is not exactly the same thing, but I'm just using it as an example, so it makes sense. You know, when you have an artist who blows up, so we can take a prime example, Stormzy. Stormzy is a local lad, so he's a part of that, blah, 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 blah. Then, stand up, big tour.
World tour.
Tickets went twice, three times, what it is. Same kind of grumbling, because you kind of think it's a, not necessarily like it's one of us, but it's kind of like that. So with Burner, you kind of get this idea that because he's been in the country for so long, he's doing underground shows, we know him, everyone, all this kind of thing. Then you're like, Burner charging £100, as if, like I said, he didn't just win. And it's not even about the Grammy and the accolades or whatever. It's the fact that it's, as an
the
artist,
thing is
you
that
can't expect.
The thing is, he's ascended, and he
exactly
is, he's in a new realm, which means the prices are different now.
The price of the brick has gone up.
He's not the new artist anymore. No, he's not the niche artist that only you and your ten friends know about or whatever.
Yep.
He's a global.
Facts.
He's a superstar.
Facts.
Guy. You know. He's
Facts.
On, and that's just what happens. So it comes with it. So just pay the money, or don't pay the money, whatever. But don't act as if it's not. Don't act as if he isn't worth. Don't act as if it's not. As if there's a mistake there. Like, he shouldn't be charging that. That's the wrong way. Like, you don't do that. It's kind of like, you know, like as creatives or whatever. You tell someone, says, "Oh, I want the service from you." You're like, okay, cool. This is the price. And I go, oh, that's expensive.
Based on what?
Yeah. Based on what? Like, do you know what I mean?
Facts.
So it's kind of somewhat like that. Or even if someone might know you and they ask you to do something, and then you tell them how much you would charge for it, and they're like, oh, but that's a bit much, or what? Is it because you're dealing with me and you think that because it's personable, proximity thing, or whatever the case is, feel like that. So maybe like with the artist thing, with Bernard, sure, you were there from the start, but you should have known this was coming.
Facts. Yeah, no, I totally agree.
And if you don't complain for other artists who are in that same band as him, then you need to look within.
Thank you. Thank you.
You might need to look within. Cause
yeah, it's interesting because the debate comes up every single year, and it's just, I'm just like, why do people still go? And the thing is, it comes up every single year, but they're still gonna buy the ticket.
Or not buy the ticket. Or not buy the ticket. Like, it's, you know,
someone else is gonna buy it.
Sometimes, exactly, someone else will buy it. You know why? Because that's where he's at. That's where he's at. It's gonna sell out.
And I definitely know, but this is why. So this is really what my point was about why I was saying about it being a social media conversation, and it's important to have these conversations because it can obviously feel like this is what everyone's talking about. Social media is quite, and this is the point I'm trying to make. It's an echo chamber. So this is from my prime example.
You talk to people outside in the real world, they're like looking at you like, what the hell
are you talking about? Thank you.
That's why I don't.
This is my example. Just in reference to what we were going back about the whole Giggs and Skepta thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone was looking at the fact that he put them on a global stage based on the fact that America was talking about it. There was this big conversation. Blah 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 blah. No one talks about the fact that that is so small in comparison to the fact that these guys were in these countries, not just America, blah, 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 selling out tours with the fans. They're artists listening to their music. Those streaming numbers are not just the UK.
No.
The streaming numbers, if you look, and again, we say it all the time, when you go back to the metrics, you'll actually see a lot of these artists, their highest numbers are in countries you wouldn't even think
and
about.
Artists always say that. They're like, man, I get mad. Like, I get loads of plays in New Zealand.
Bro!
Like, or whatever.
Prime example. If you want to talk about global stage, Skepta's Konnichiwa album. Do you know how massive that was in Japan?
Why?
It was fucking
ridiculous. Konnichiwa, like, of course.
It was ridiculous.
But you know.
But you know why he did? Because he didn't just do that because he was being random. The numbers were already there.
I understand all of that. Like, I get that. But again, people are just not understanding.
That echo chamber thing is a big part of it because people see through that glass. They see through those glasses and don't actually see there's a bigger and wider thing going on.
And
not
also
just what you see in
your
peripheral.
Unwilling to admit that you just didn't know.
Yeah, thank you.
You just didn't know. Like, if you didn't know something, you didn't know. Like, I didn't know that Burner Boy was a big deal. I heard a tune and then I'm like, man, he's just like, and you're like,
I didn't know that.
And that's take the ego out of it, the pride out of it. You started listening to music 3 years ago and you feel like, yeah, man, I know everything about this.
Facts.
I didn't know that he did a tune with Diddy. I didn't know that these lot were in Australia tour. And I didn't know that. That changes things now.
Facts.
It doesn't mean that, man. It doesn't count. It was just the one tune. They never linked up again.
Facts. No, it's true.
Man. I don't know. It's long. it's just long, but we definitely need to move on. The Drake conversation is super dated. I don't think any platforms or anybody should really be talking about Drake in relation to the UK anymore. You should have left that in last decade or whatever the case is, because yeah, and I don't, like I said, I feel like once artists comment and stuff and kind of say how they feel about it, you should just dead the conversation.
Dead the conversation, fam.
Georgia and anything. Once she said her piece, that's where the conversation
no,
stopped.
No, they argued with her. They told her that she was wrong.
Can you imagine?
She told her that she was wrong.
Told her that she was wrong.
That's when I knew everyone was mad, because they told her she was wrong. As in the actual artist, she had to. She was defending herself, and they told her she was wrong.
This is why the internet is a bad place. So
everyone's mad.
You know, play your wheel up.
Let me put my wheel up, fam. So, my wheel up, just because I like the tune. Basically, I like the song because of the sample. It's really what I'm here for. I like the way that they did it. But basically, it's off of the DMX album. It's Take Control, and it's Snoop Dogg.
Oh, sir.
Get up. I got something for you, baby.
Now that you told me that they just like put like little growls all over the album, it's making me laugh.
It was just overkill, man.
Are you watching the Loki series? Are you gonna start watching? I haven't watched it yet. I think it's out now.
Today.
Yeah. I think the first episode dropped today, but I haven't watched it yet. But we should do a little recap. A couple episodes.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Snoop Dogg has been, I'm not gonna lie to you, Snoop Dogg's still got it, man. Not as if he ever lost it, but. Guess I mean, there are some songs, yeah, they could have made this an EP.
Yeah, yeah.
Cut out some of, and actually, this would have been a decent project.
Yeah,
because this is
nice
really good.
Send-off.
This was. This
it sounds
was
smooth, man.
Very
that,
well done.
That sample, you can't go wrong.
You can't
no,
go wrong
can't
with
go
my.
Wrong. Yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah,
not no. But I can't go wrong with Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. Snoop on there, Snoop Flow, like, you know.
Yeah, it's rough, man. It's very rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was really good.
Cool. My wheel up is going to be Jessie Ware. Do you remember her?
Yes.
Yeah, Jessie Ware's cold, man. Anyway, she dropped.
She back?
Yeah, she dropped a tune. I know, right? She was like, not disappeared. Maybe she was.
Although she dropped a project about 2 years ago, wasn't it? Or something
yeah,
like
she
that?
Dropped a song. Yeah, and it's just like, you know, it's one of those songs that I feel like you would hear in the opening of a movie, or like it's proper upbeat, and it's just like, yeah, one of these songs that I feel like, oh, I can see this at the opening of the movie.
Yeah,
or the closing,
yeah.
Start your day off with this. It's just a vibe, like a big vibe. Jessie Ware, like. Yeah, man, she's a really, 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 really good artist.
No, she's very, very dope. Very dope.
And I'm guessing she's got some coming. It's called Please. And takes a minute. But hear the vibes, man.
Proper ounce, baby.
Yeah. But she had a big moment. And then, yeah, maybe she's...
She's been on a steady... It's been one of those things where, again, it's what you know in it. She's actually
true.
Still been on a steady rise.
Yeah. That's why...
Like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So I saw this and I was listening. I was like, oh, yes, okay, we're back. But this song is like hard. I love it. Like, I think I played it like every single day since I found it. It was really dope. So, yeah, Jessie Ware.
Nice.
Like, it just really reminds me of like movies and shit like that. But yeah.
Very nice.
Please by Jessie Ware. So yeah,
very nice.
Yeah, real upbeat, feel good, make your pancakes or whatever in the morning and do all of that.
I said pancakes.
Yeah.
In this year, London.
Huh? Yeah.
I said pancakes,
what?
You know.
Don't you cook? Like make breakfast and stuff. I mean, I'm not a big breakfast person like that. But when I do go to make breakfast, yeah, I'll probably do like pancakes
Scrum
or something like that.
Maybe all day.
Oh no,
all
I'm day, not. I literally, probably the only time I have eggs is if I'm making pancakes.
Don't
like in terms of like just the mix. Like, I don't eat eggs like that at all. I can't remember the last time I had eggs. Actually, it's been.
Are you missing out?
It's been time.
You're missing
not,
out.
For
I
not.
Discovered take the milk out of scrambled eggs the other day. For a man's been killing it.
Is it?
Oh, and I discovered to add double cream. Hey.
To eggs.
Yeah.
What?
I thought someone was shouting shit, so I just did it as
double
an experiment.
Cream and eggs.
Hey, it slaps.
People do a lot to eggs. Hey. It's funny. Like
eggs are such. They're such a versatile like ingredient. I'm just like, hey, I'm down for this still.
Yeah, but just to eat with bread. Like again, I mean, I say that as someone who I can't remember the last time I had eggs, and I don't eat bread for the most part. I'm not a breakfast person, so like I don't bread all these things. I don't buy them. It's not my thing. When I'm making breakfast, it's very like cool. We're doing the pancakes. We're doing the luxury breakfast.
We're doing
now.
The bacon.
We're doing all of that. We can make a little bacon like McMuffin. We're doing all of them type of things. And when I have the idea, okay, I'm gonna do breakfast. I'm doing it like that. So yeah.
From I just noticed you know it was bacon in here. I didn't realize there was a hair.
You see, I noticed that you
because
put
it's
on
been
like,
out.
You know, we've been here chatting, and the energy is like just makes the place hotter. And then you went and put the AC. I thought, oh, amazing.
I was looking at it. And I was like,
you know,
is
we
that
just
AC
come here,
here
and just, like on this vibes, and then we just deal with the conditions. As
when
like,
it comes in here,
we just deal with it. We're just here, like, oh, you know what, whatever.
Oh
but,
man,
yeah, man.
Yeah,
I don't think there's
it.
Like anything else to really like.
No, that's it. There's a lot of music coming out. This month as well, this Friday, I think Travis has got some new stuff coming out.
Travis had a tune with Baby Keem, Do Rag Activity. Really
it.
Good. Yeah, check it out.
Little Baby and
Young
yeah.
and Lil Durk put out the Voice of the Heroes. Yeah. I haven't got to that yet, but
I
heard
the Voice of the
Heroes
tune though. Slaps.
Yeah.
Slaps.
I mean, them two are like great, so
yeah,
I don't doubt that. I
Eric Bellinger's dropping some tunes, fam.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's dropping bangers, fam. He's dropping absolute bangers. Yeah, that's us, though.
Cool.
TBH, baby.
Yeah, make sure you rate, subscribe, let us know what you think. If you agree, disagree, and all of that.
Peace.